Okay. Yeah. Hello. It's good to stand in front of you tonight. It's an honor, and I'm glad that you're here to hear what I have to say. I believe you will be encouraged. I don't know that it will be a great revelation, but I think it is some encouragement, and it will be a blessing to you if you receive it as such. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a minute or two. Hallelujah. Saturo costo reke di asa, mandore de la labaso dore che sine ne namastai. Lebe dosto dore che ti anda starra che ti e debeto dorora ravanda, mandore bedebi anda roto tosto re che ste a re a re alla cadarada bassar robo. Lema roma anda rebin de barbanta stedi ele carrosta rechiti. Sero de la massandore bede chi ne ne casta rabarra che ti sidi, de la carramando rebe andando de ne de la bassa torra peti bide, le barrosto rechete de la massanda rechete di Diana. Sendo rebe de ananato to sodurro de la cara. Se robata rabata sarà garraca stara cassedidi de la mandurro pote. Mando da rebe de basso dorra che sta rechidi. Si do la masso roto rechete si di la masso dorre. Bella corro mar mi armate che ne mena cosso doto che teste de era caramato. Bella corro mena ma sta rassi di la cassata racata da ba. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we yield to you as we come before the word tonight, as we come into the word and into what you have laid on my heart. Father, I thank you that as we have gathered here tonight, that your Spirit is among us, and that we are here for exhortation, for encouragement, for being lifted up and built together as a house unto you, Father God. And I thank you that your anointing is here, and if there is any that needs a touch of your anointing, Father God, I thank you that your power is here, your presence is here to heal and to set free. And I thank you, Father, I release that healing anointing to start flowing now, even into those who need a touch from you, Father God. And I thank you that we are healed by the stripes that our Redeemer took on his back. And we are filled with resurrection life in our physical and mortal bodies, so that we are alive unto you with your life, with your presence and your power. Thank you, Father God, for this time. Let your anointing and your Spirit have free reign and free course. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, I don't have to tell you that things in this world are kind of shaking up a little bit. Things are going on these days. We know that there will be. How many of you believe in the return of the Lord? Now, there's all kind of camps on how that's going to happen, whether we're snatched out or if everybody else is taken and we're left here. From what I read, it looks like that we're out of here. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. But anyway, there is a wrapping up. There has to be a set time, a marked time, that this is going to be over and the whole age is going to be shifted into the next phase of God's plan that we have read in Revelations. We read in Daniel and Ezekiel and all those things. I don't know how much longer we have. The way things are going, something's going to have to change here pretty soon. But I'm expecting some big changes. But I do know and I feel that before the end comes, there's going to be great blessings for the true believers. And there may be some hardship for those who are trusting and relying on the world system. So we've got, I think, a little time, whether we've got 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know. I can't see it lasting 20 years, but with all the political stuff, the terrorist stuff, the economic stuff, the social stuff going on, It's just moving too fast. It seems like it's getting out of control. But we know that God is still in control and that nothing is going to happen that catches him by surprise. And nothing is going to happen that he hadn't already made a way of escape for us. And we have already escaped the wrath of God through the redemption of his son. So that's one part of the whole crucifixion and the death, burial, and resurrection that I guess just in the last couple of years have really been, I don't know, it's made a big difference in my life that Jesus took, and we say the penalty of sin. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. But he took all of the wrath of God because of sin. Wow. All of that, you know, you think of the Old Testament wrath of God when the children of Israel would do stupid stuff. That wasn't even close to all of the wrath of God. I mean, nothing was held back. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to beat Jesus. He's going to receive it all except for this right over here. I'm going to save that for Damon. No. He took it all. He took it all. And that just makes me love Jesus even more. Our Redeemer. What a precious, precious price that was paid. But I do know that as true believers are in line for the faithfulness of God's promises to be poured out in our lives, and I want to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing so that I don't miss what he is doing. I'm not going to be moved by the political scene, by the terrorist scene, by the social scene. Sometimes I get mad at Facebook just because of stupid people. But that's besides the point. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But I do not want to miss. I can miss Facebook. I can miss the elections. I can miss everything else. But I do not want to miss what God has in store. And I know that it is a tremendous and awesome blessing coming. I want to share a couple of things tonight that can help us be prepared and ready to receive the supernatural abundant blessing that God has promised. While we know that, again, our salvation and righteousness are totally about what God did and what our Redeemer did, and all we had to do was just receive it, just submit to it. That's all. We believed it, we receive it, we submit to it. But we also know and have heard for many, many years, the blessings and promises of God are not automatic. If we're not in the place where the promise is being manifested, we may not see it, okay? The Word says, I don't know the exact address. I can look it up real quick, but I just can't, for some reason, the address won't stay in my mind. But the Word says he continually leads us in triumph and victory. He continually leads us in triumph and victory. However, if we're not following correctly, we could miss our appointment with triumph and victory. Have you ever tried to lead someone that they didn't know where, you know, you had to have two or three carloads and going, and somebody didn't know where they're going? You say, well, just follow me. But they didn't know how to follow. You take off. They're right behind you. And you go down a little bit, and you look, and they're way back there. I think, you're going to have to speed up a little bit. Stay with me. Because invariably what happens? They get caught at a red light. Somebody pulls in between. Two or three cars pull in between. A bus pulls in between. They lose sight of you completely. They don't know where they're going. You have to make a turn, and they're nowhere in sight. Say, so, well, you just have to stop and wait for them to show up. Or they're so far back there you can't see or them and they can't see you. I've even had one time, and this was a long time ago, but I had somebody pull into a store and get something to drink while they were supposed to be following me. Yeah, well, we thought we'd just run in real quick and get us a Coke or something to drink and then come back out. And I was like, where were you? But following is a learned skill, okay? You stay up close enough to where you can respond to changing conditions without getting separated, okay? I'm talking spiritually here now, okay? I've left the car scene. We're staying close enough to the Holy Spirit to hear, first of all, and then respond to the changing conditions without getting separated. If you go ahead of the lead, obviously you aren't following anymore. And how will you ever get to where you're going? If you're too far behind, it's easy to get separated. If you decide to go your own way, you definitely will miss the intended or desired end. And Pastor said it last Wednesday night, while we do have a purpose, we do have a call. Each one of us has a call. We have a purpose. Our main job and focus in accomplishing our purpose is obedience. Okay? Even though we may know what our call and purpose is, and we do things that seem to fit that call and purpose, they're in line with our purpose and call. If we get them out of order, if we do those things that are not what the Spirit is leading us, we can really mess it up. We can mess it up real bad if we are not obedient. So let's go through a couple of things here that will help us stay in that place of receiving the blessing of promise. Now, these are not in any particular order or rank of importance or anything like that. I just made a list, and here we go. Be not weary in well-doing. We've all heard that. Yeah. Don't get tired. Well, you can't help it. Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes people get on your nerves, and you just say, I want to quit. I want to forget it, not because of the call of God, but because of the knuckleheads. But let us not become, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, this is verse 10, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, this scripture is referring to doing good to others. This involves people. This is that tough thing. It's called love. And charity, compassion, preferring another over yourself, and that sort of thing. But let's also look at 2 Thessalonians 3:13. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but ye, brethren, and I got this out of the King James, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. He said it again. So this is two different places. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing. In this context, he's talking about doing the right thing, more or less a way of life. A few verses before this, Paul is saying if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. And he admonishes those people to, now I'm going to paraphrase this, shut up, go to work, and eat your own bread. Paul says, you know, work quietly or in a quiet fashion. I didn't understand that other than quit complaining and go to work. And eat your own bread. Then he says, but ye or you, brothers, believers, don't get tired of doing what you know is right and good. If you know that you're supposed to work to provide for your family, then that's what you should be doing. Don't get weary in doing what is right and good. You know you need to work to eat, so go to work. You know you should study the Word of God to renew your mind, so study. You know you should not let words that are contrary to the promises of God come out of your mouth, so be vigilant to keep a guard not only over your mouth but over your heart, because out of the heart is where the mouth gets its motivation. So guard your heart, your mind, and your mouth. Okay? Make your daily confessions. Pray without ceasing. Praise the Lord at all times. Worship the Lord with all that is in you. Don't let those things that you have learned slip away or be unimportant in your life. It's not an easy thing to be steadfast and unmovable. It's not an easy thing. But, Pastor said it just a while ago, we sang it just a while ago, if you don't quit, you win. Okay? There is a prize to gain, a promise to receive, a harvest to reap. But you have to stick with the plan that God has laid out, and by His grace, His mercy, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you can and will see the victory and abundant harvest. We can follow the Spirit. We can make our appointments with the promises. That's why it is important to be able to slip into the presence of the Lord through praise and worship to recharge and during those times of refreshing in His presence. Next, and along the same lines, be faithful in what God has called you to do. Be in your place in the body. If God has placed you... I got commas in the wrong place. Be in your place. In the body, if God has called you to sing on the praise team, be in your place and faithful to do what He's called you to. If God has you as an usher or hostess, be faithful to what that call and be in your place. If God calls you, He equips you and will make a way for you to fulfill that call. But you may have to work at it a bit, okay? Because there's going to be things that come along that's going to try to get you out of it, okay? If you work nights and weekends and can't even come to church, either you are not called to be an usher or you are working the wrong job, okay? If you're called, that's where you need to be, okay? Not, well, you told me to work. I got to work so I can eat. But if you're called, you got to make some decisions. Either step down from being a hostess or find a new job. Decide, you have to decide which one is God, okay? One of them ain't God, and you have to listen to hear and obey the voice of the Spirit. If you have to be out occasionally, that's one thing. But on a regular basis, you need to make some decisions. It is important to be faithful in your place because that is where God is going to send your blessings. He is going to send your blessings to the place of faithfulness, to His call, not faithfulness to what you want to do. It's His call. It's His blessings. He will place them where He desires, in line with your call. If you're not there to receive it, I doubt that He will chase you around the country to try to get it to you. His blessings are in the place He has called you, and that's where you will find it. If you miss it, don't worry. Come back, and the blessings will still be there. That's where you can find. Now, later down the road, things may change. He may put you over into a different phase, and the blessings will follow that. The blessings follow the Spirit, or the Spirit will lead you in those paths. It's not, I got to be a hostess for the rest of my life. No. Just be faithful until God tells you to move, and then move when He tells you to. Be faithful and in your place. The next bullet is be doing the right thing. Okay? You can always be in the right place. Well, you can. You can always be in the right place, but doing the wrong things. You can even be doing the right things, but with the wrong motives or attitude. We know we are supposed to resist the devil, and he is supposed to flee. But all of our resisting will be fruitless and ineffective if we fail to submit ourselves to God, because that's where the promise is. Submitting to God, Submit yourselves to God, and that's James 4, 7, says that first we are to submit ourselves to God, then we can resist the devil, and he will flee. The right thing can have many parts to it, such as what we just discussed. It has been said here many times lately that confessing we are healed so we won't hurt anymore constitutes consuming healing for our own lust or for our own desires. We confess our healing because we don't want to hurt. That's what we want. When it should be so that the word of the Lord might be established and demonstrated in the earth for God's glory. That's why we confess our healing, for God's glory, that his word is manifest. So doing the right thing is not just in the doing, but also in the motives and attitude. Greeting people at the door just to see how people are dressed so you can compare your wardrobe to theirs is doing the right thing with the wrong motives or intentions. You greet to speak a word of love and encouragement, to set an attitude of peace and joy, to bring hope and anticipation to all those that enter. All those things can't be done disingenuously. I'm proud of myself for that word. I had to use my spell check to get it right. But those are fruits of the Spirit. Those are things that come out of the Spirit. And you have to be connected to and flowing from the Spirit to touch a life like that. That is our goal. And this is not a seminar on ministry of helps. But it could be. Next is always be ready. There may not be time to get ready. Okay? And we're talking about the changes that are coming in the world, the blessings that are coming to the believers, avoiding the downfall and the destruction of the world system. We've all heard the story of the 10 virgins who came to the wedding while the bridegroom tarried. 5 were wise and made sure they had plenty of oil and wicks for their lamps, and 5 were considered foolish because they only brought enough for the present time. And when the foolish virgins ran out of oil, they had to go get some. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and only the wise ones got to go in. Now, the context of this story in Matthew 25 is when Jesus was preaching about the end time. So it does refer to when he comes again that we need to be ready. But it also can work. It's a worthy lesson for being ready for all the good things that God has in store for his people. When the suddenlies of God's blessings and promise are being poured out, will you be ready to receive it? Or will you have to go get a bigger bag? Or go get a bigger tub or a bucket? Or do you have to move some old stuff out of the way to make room for the new? How many times has Pastor told us about how he had Sister Lou park on the other side of the driveway because he was making room for his new car? He went and bought a sponge and a wash bucket, getting ready for his new car. He made a room. He was making room. He was getting ready. He was being prepared for the blessings, and he wanted to receive those. Faith initiates action. Let's say someone tells you that they are coming over. If you really believe they are coming, most normal people will go through their house to make sure everything is clean or at least presentable so the guests won't think they're messy slobs. If you don't believe them, say, well, they say they're coming over all the time, but they never show up. Maybe you don't do anything and just leave everything like it is. But if you have a hope and an expectation that somebody is going to come by, you keep your house clean all the time. Okay? Or maybe it's fear that somebody's going to come by. I don't know. It depends on your pride, I guess. Are you expecting to receive the blessings of the promises of God? Are you really expecting to receive the promises of God? Do you really believe that God is faithful? When it shows up at your door, are you going to have to say, Hold on a minute while I tidy up a bit. I don't know about you, but I got my expector turned way up. I have my receiver turned on, and the blessings won't even have to slow down to get into my house. I even keep the door open. It's like, just come on in. Come on in. I'm ready for the blessings of the Lord. Next thing is, don't count on the status quo to be enough. Don't count on the status quo to be enough. Don't settle or prepare to settle for just enough. God always does and wants to do so much more than we can even imagine or think. To maintain what you have now is not where God wants you to be. You know, just having my needs met is never what all that God wants. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond. Everything about God is abundance and more than enough. Everything about God is abundance. His plans and his purposes for you are great. They're not just, well, they're going to be a good person. I hope they're a good person. No, he has things for you to do. Those things may seem small compared to maybe somebody else's, but it is always an important thing in the kingdom. Even if it's just raising a son or a daughter that will do great and mighty things by the Spirit, that is an important job. It is an important job to raise your children the way God wants you to. But along with great plans comes great responsibility and great need. If you're going to take on the world or take on a city or whatever, if you're not planning on, or if you are planning on something big, if you feel God has put something big in your heart, if it's going to take probably great supply, a great provision. Great callings require great responsibility and great need. Expect to receive great provision in order to accomplish great plans. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Expect to receive great provision in order to accomplish great plans. Okay, we're moving on. Patience, this is a good one. Patience should never be confused with inactivity. Okay? Patience is not doing nothing. Most of us know that patience in the New Testament has more to do with endurance and constancy. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." You have patience so that you may receive what was promised after you've done the will of God, okay? Very seldom can you see the finish line from the starting gate in an endurance race, okay? You have to start running with a confidence that you're not going to be running eternally. There is a finish line. And even though you can't see it, it's there. And your endurance is what you need to get there. Certainly the finish line doesn't come to you. Okay? Generally they paint it on the ground. Okay? And it doesn't get any closer. You have to go to it. Okay? To receive the promises of God, we must be moving towards the promises. We must be moving towards what God has called us to do, towards the prize, making sure and being confident that doing the will of God day in and day out will produce the reward of the manifested promise. Amen? Amen. Okay. Next one is continue to occupy. Continue to occupy. Transact business for the kingdom and be ready to receive the added unto you. Y'all know where that came from. Added unto you. In Luke 19:11, in the parable of using money, Yeshua told of a nobleman who was going away to receive a kingdom and called his servants and gave them some money and told them to occupy or to do business till he came back. Those who did so were rewarded with more, and the one who did not lost what he had. Our Redeemer also said in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that the Gentiles or the world seeks after would be added to us. Are you occupying and doing kingdom of God business? Are you establishing the kingdom of God in your work environment? Are you ruling and reigning, which is kingdom activity, over every problem, situation, and circumstance? Are you bringing righteousness into the grocery store? Are you bringing the kingdom of God into your workplace? Are you bringing the kingdom into your school? Are you expecting opportunities to invest the kingdom of God into strangers and even those you know wherever you go? Are you looking for and expecting the added unto you to be added unto you? Are you excited about the added unto you? Or are you just, well, I guess I better go witness to somebody, or I guess I need to do that. No, there's a promise with that. There's a promise with that. And we need to be expecting that promise of added unto you. Continue the sowing and reaping cycle. Okay, this is just some encouragements. Continue the sowing and reaping cycle. Be in position and ready to reap when the harvest is ready. Okay? So many good comparisons of the farmer's work to the kingdom of God. Don't just sow once and see what happens. The more times we sow, the more times the harvest is reaped. Stay where you sow so you can tend to the field and be ready to harvest when it is time. Don't throw some seed down on the ground and then run off. Okay? The field may need some tending to, some weeds to be pulled, some irrigation and cultivation. Farmers don't plant a field in Kansas and then go off to California or Florida and hope the crop back home is growing and hope someone is there to harvest and put it in the barns. No. When they plant seeds, when they plant a crop, they stay there, they tend to it, they nurture it, they keep it watered, they keep it going. Don't abandon your crops. Don't give up on your seed. Have the barns ready to receive the harvest. Be ready to reap when the harvest is ripe. Don't just say, well, whenever it's ready, it'll get in the barn. No, you got to go get it. You have to receive it, but it has to be ripe. It has to be full-grown, mature, and ready for harvesting. Don't let the crop ruin by staying in the field too long, and then be ready to sow again and again. So continue the sowing and reaping process and cycle. And we're already at the last one. Let love be the motivating force. In all things, let love be the motivating force. All that God has done from creation to right now and for all eternity, all the things that he has set in motion, has been done and motivated by his great love. Love for the earth, love for the cosmos, love for the people on the earth and everything in the earth. We should be so filled with God and His nature that everything we are about is out of a heart of love for Him and for our fellow man. Begin to pray for the people of our church. Begin to pray for the people of our city, of our county, our state, and nation. Let love and compassion begin to grow in your heart. And I guarantee you, you start praying for people, even though you don't know them. You just start praying for the city of Austin and watch the love start building in your heart, even though you don't know them. You see them walking down the street and you say, Father, bless that person. Draw that person into your love, into your heart. And they may already be, they may not be a believer, but when you start praying for people genuinely, the love of God starts flowing and compassion begins to grow in your heart and be the motivating force for all the blessings and promises that are coming to the righteous. So we want to be in our place. We want to be faithful to what God has called us. We don't want to be weary in well-doing. If we need to, take some time and just spend in the presence of God, for there is the refreshing. We don't want to leave our harvest in the field. We don't want to get ahead or behind the Spirit of God. We want to keep our ears tuned to hearing so that we can obey, because that is where the blessings, where God has placed the blessings for each one of us, and each one of us are different. We all have our own call, our own purpose, and in the line that we are supposed to go is where our blessings are. If we get in somebody else's line, our key don't fit that lock. Our key fits the locks that are in line with our calling, and God's goodness will be manifested. I'm excited about the promises of God being made manifest in this time. Even though the world seems like it's going crazy, absolutely nuts, we can be of good cheer because we know that our Redeemer has already overcome the world. We're not in the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world, so we're not affected by its nuttiness. We are children of the Most High God. We are King's kids. We are kings ourselves. So we need to be doing what kings do, and that is tending to the matters of the kingdom, not giving up, not quitting, but in love and in joy and in peace, manifesting the presence of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you, Father, for these people that are gathered here tonight and for those that are watching by live streaming or will watch in the future. I thank you, Father, that you have plans and purposes for our lives and that you have equipped not only us physically, mentally, and spiritually to accomplish your plans, but Father, you have provided great provision as we walk in those plans and as we walk in those purposes, listening for your voice to know when, to know where, to know how, and then empowering us by your Holy Spirit to accomplish. I thank you, Father, for your refreshing of your presence as we are in this place tonight. I thank you, Father, for peace for the house of the Lord. I thank you for joy and for rest for house of the Lord. I thank you that we are energized by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that flows and lives within us, quickening our bodies and causing us to be alive, causing us to be energetic and vitalized by your presence, Father God. You are the great and mighty God, and we are your sons and your daughters, your children, your representatives in the earth. And I thank you, Lord, that we can go forth and do mighty exploits in your name And I thank you, Father, that as we approach the end time and your blessings, your word comes to pass because you said it and you will do it and it has to be done. I thank you, Father, that we are ready, that we keep ourselves ready to receive your good pleasure, to receive of your blessings, to receive all that you have in store for us. Even though we may not have seen them, we may not have heard of them, but you're placing them in our heart. You're revealing them to us as we move closer and closer to the goal. And I thank you, sir. I thank you. Now, I just speak blessings on all that are here tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you go with them, that your hand is on their lives, and they receive the blessings of the Lord. Stand with us and receive the blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Amen. You are blessed. Don't forget to keep Pastor and Sister Lou in your prayers and thoughts as they go tend to family business. You're blessed. Go with God.